About half of you answered. The rest of you ditched a year already. Is that it? Let's open our Bibles for our Bible study this morning to the book of Lamentations in your Old Testament. Right after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. A little small book tucked away in there. If you get over to Ezekiel, you went too far. And let's read together verses 19 to 25. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. He's talking about the difficulty of the life that he's having to live now. Jeremiah lives in a time of Israel when Israel is in great rebellion against the Lord, rejection of God, going into captivity into the land of Babylon because of their rebellion against God and all of these kinds of things. And God is allowing all kinds of trouble to come to the nation because she has essentially rejected God. And so the prophet is speaking with the Lord about all of this and needing the strength of the Lord to endure what he's going through. He says, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. And here's the message today. The message is for you and I that we would be encouraged and have hope regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves going through today. In fact, I want to challenge you to look at 2018 with a hopeful heart and expect good things from God in your life in the year it's coming. He says in verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. And here's what he recalls. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. And Father, we pray today that we would become that person, those that know you, love you, and seek after you with all of our heart, that you might have your way in our life, that we might become a people of hope. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we want to talk to you about having a hopeful heart in 2018. You know, sometimes when we just live day to day and we can fall into a rut of living where life becomes just, you know, you get up and you go to work and you come home and you flop on the couch or the recliner or whatever and rest. And that's just all you can do. And you go to bed and you just get up tomorrow and you do the whole cycle all over again. And life just becomes that kind of rut. And really, it's very easy for us when we allow that to become our way of life. It's really easy for us to develop a sense of hopelessness that things are never going to change, that things are never going to get any better, that nothing good is ever going to happen in our lives. And I want to encourage you today and remind you, as the prophet reminded himself and the people of Israel as he writes these words, that our God is a good God. And because God is who he is, no matter what our circumstances might happen to be, we can always have hope. Hope is defined as feeling that the events will turn out for the best. Someone described hope as a positive expectation of the future. You know, there are some people that just seem to be that way by nature, just seem to be positive by nature, and good for them, doggone it. I'm not always that way. When things start going south for me, I tend to follow. And I don't always have a positive outlook on the future. But look, by the grace of the Lord, we can have a different perspective and we can see life in a different way. And we begin to see things from God's perspective. We can become that person of hope. The reason that Jeremiah is so hopeful, and again, he's writing in a very difficult time for the nation of Israel, and yet he manages to find reasons for hope. And I want you to look at it with me here in verses 22 and 23 and 24. I want you to see the reasons that he finds for hope. First of all, in verses 22 and 23, he says that the Lord is loving, and that he's kind, and that he's compassionate, and that he abounds in mercy. Now again, you have to understand the context of the life that he's living and the things that he's going through, because outwardly, things don't look like this. Outwardly, it looks like God has just completely abandoned them and has walked away from them, and there is no hope. But Jeremiah is wanting to remind them, as I believe God is wanting to remind all of us today, of who he is in spite of what we're going through. And look, you and I know, if you've lived very long, you know that life is not always going to be a bed of roses. Life is not always going to be everything's easy, everything's a piece of cake, and everything is going to work out my way. It just doesn't happen that way. And yet you and I can still find hope even through the crises of life. Sometimes the problems that we go through in life are things that are the result of the choices that we've made. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And we make poor choices, and we make ungodly choices, and we wonder why bad things are happening. And Paul tells us in the scriptures, and in many places the Bible says, that what you sow, you're going to reap. And Paul says God is not mocked, and sometimes some of the things that we're going through are just a matter of the poor choices that we made in life. But you know what? Even in those situations, God still loves us. Here's the thing. Even though these people had rejected the Lord, had rebelled against God, and had done it for years and years and years, their attitude toward God never changed God's attitude toward them. God still loved them. God still cared about them. He found out, he said he had hope because he knew that God was a loving God and a compassionate God and a merciful God. The second thing is, he says that God is faithful. Great is your faithfulness, verse 23. God is faithful, and he'll do what he says he will do if you and I will follow after him with all of our heart. And so he says, I know that God is faithful if we can just get back to the place where we are walking with the Lord. And then he says, God desires good things for us. God desires good things for us. The Lord is my portion, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. All of these things reminded Jeremiah of who God is. As Ed said just a little while ago, the more important thing is not what we do, but who we are. And sometimes we need to understand who God is and remember that in spite of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Because God, even though Israel had forsaken the Lord and walked away from God, God was still right there. He was still caring. He was still loving. And he was still willing and desiring to be everything they ever needed. They just needed to turn back to him, and they could experience everything that he had planned for their lives. And again, let's make it clear. Let's be reminded ourselves today that often our sins and our failures, our selfish choices, our rejection of him, listen, even though we walk away from God, God is still faithful to us. God still loves us. His attitude, listen, I don't care what you've been doing, and I don't care how long you've been doing it, God's attitude toward you is still the same as it always was. God loves you. God loves you. He cares about you. Yeah. Sometimes there's consequences for the choices we made. Yeah. Sometimes there's the discipline of the Lord. But that just proves his love. That just proves his love for our lives. And God's attitude toward us never changes. You know, it was this same prophet, Jeremiah. He's the one that wrote the passage of scripture. We talk about it all the time in Jeremiah chapter 29. The promise that he made to the children of Israel. In Jeremiah 29 verse 10, the Lord says, when 70 years have been completed in Babylon, he says, look, you've rejected me. You've rebelled against me. And these things aren't without consequence. And you're going to experience some hardship. You're going to go through some difficult times. But he says this, after 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place, promise of restoration. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. There it is. There's the promise again. He says, look, you're going to go through some hard times, but I'm still here. I'm not going to forsake you. You may have rejected me, but I'm not going to reject you. I'm going to be here, and when the time is right, everything is going to turn around, and I'm going to restore to you all that you've lost, and I'm going to bring blessing and wholeness back to you as you draw near to me once again. And again, the same is true for every one of us. And listen, you and I have reason to hope today. No matter what your circumstances are, and I shared some prayer requests with you a little while ago of some people that are going through some difficult times. People who've experienced some hardship, people who've experienced some heartache and some pain in this life. But look, there's always reason for hope when God is alive. And don't misunderstand, you know, sometimes you hear preachers talking about what God will do for you and all these kinds of things, and it's almost like, you know, God is just here to serve us. That God exists for us. Now, that's not what I'm saying at all this morning, okay? Listen, God doesn't exist for us. We exist for Him. We exist for Him. And you know, the quicker we learn that truth, the quicker things will be better for us in our life. We start living for the Lord. The Bible says that we are created by God for God. We're created on purpose, and we're created for a purpose. And the sooner we learn that, the sooner we accept these things and begin to live our life for the glory of God. God can turn things around in our life, no matter what we've been doing or how long we've been doing it, no matter how far we may have walked away from God. God can restore our lives, and because of that, we always have reason for hope. Again, does it mean God's going to give you everything you want? Does it mean God is not just up there to dole out whatever you ask for? In fact, you know, I believe the time is going to come in every one of our lives when we look back on our lives and we realize that some of the greatest blessings we experience in life are the things God didn't give to us that we wanted. The things God didn't do for us that we're asking Him to do. Because God in His wisdom knew those things were detrimental to us and did not want us to have those things. Now, frankly, there are times when God lets us have things that we ask for just to show us how wrong we were for wanting them. I think that's the picture of Israel and Saul, and Israel wanting a king to be like the other nations and all of this kind of thing. All right, you want a king? Here's your king. It didn't work out too well for him. But look, a lot of the times, I believe we're going to get at the end of this life, we're going to look back and we're going to thank God for things that He didn't give to us that we wanted, because He knew those things were going to be detrimental, those things were going to be harmful, those things were going to hurt. Or He didn't give us what we're asking for because He had something better for us. He had something better for us. You know, if we had our way as a church, we would be worshiping on 3 acres of land on Wigington Road. But God didn't let us go through with that plan, because God had something better. We've got 30 acres on Leesville Road, on a 4-lane road over here. And God did that. God had something better for us. And because we were willing to listen to the Lord and to wait on God, God took what we thought was a good thing and gave us something better for it. See, guys, God sees the big picture. God sees the things that you and I can't see today. God knows all of the things that are going on in our life, and He knows what He wants to do to get us where He wants us to be, and He knows all of the circumstances that need to be arranged and orchestrated, and the pieces that need to be moved, and all of the things that need to happen for Him to get to us what He wants us to have. You and I don't see it. We see what's immediately right in front of us, and we assume we know what's best for us because of what we see right in front of us. But God really does know best. And if we'll trust in the Lord and follow after Him and let Him have His way instead of always demanding our way, life will work out better for us. God sees the big picture. God knows what's going on. We don't see the things that God sees. God sees from a different realm. He sees all of the circumstances. He sees not just today. He sees the past, present, and future. He knows it all. This piece of land, God was working out the details for us to have this piece of land. Back in the 60s, God was working on the details of this. And it's amazing. It boggles our minds to see the way that God works and the way that God accomplishes things. But when God pulls back the veil and allows us to see what He's been up to, it's just amazing what God is doing. And I want to encourage you today that God loves you today. And God is working on a plan for your life today, for tomorrow, next week, next month. He's laying the groundwork. He's putting things in order. God has a plan. And it's a good plan to give you a future, to give you a hope. He just wants you to follow. It's time for us to learn to follow exactly instead of trying to lead. We try to get God to follow us. That's not going to happen. We need to follow God. God's plan will be worked out. We don't see all the picture. I love the story in the Old Testament of Israel and how God delivered the city of Samaria. In a time of great desperation and hopelessness for the people of the city. Samaria had been surrounded by the Syrian army. They had cut Samaria off from all outside supplies and were just waiting on the people to finally give up because they had cut them off from everything outwardly. They had nothing in the city. They were dying in the city. They had no food, nothing to eat. They had come to the place where they would collect the feces of the animals to eat, or they would kill their children and sacrifice them in order to try to survive. They had gotten so hopeless and so deep in despair because as a people, they had generally walked away from the Lord. Now, here's the thing. Eventually, the king will finally put on the sackcloth and ashes, which is a symbol of repentance and confession and recognition of a dependence on God. But as I read that story, I wonder, why did they have to wait so long to get to that point? And then I had to ask myself this question. Why do I wait so long to get to that point of finally saying, God, I need you to take care of this. I need to depend on you. When they finally turned their heart, there was that symbol, symbolically turning their heart to God from the king there. The prophet, who is Elisha, announces to the city tomorrow, and again, understand the desperation of the people at that time eating any awful, nasty thing they could to try to survive. And the prophet announces to the king, he says, tomorrow at this time, within 24 hours, food is going to be plentiful and food is going to be cheap. There was a soldier, one of the captains of the army there, who looked at the prophet and he said, that's impossible. That will never happen. That cannot happen. The prophet looked at him and he said, you will see it, but you will not partake of it. You see, what they didn't know inside the city there, and I'm not sure the prophet even knew it, but he was announcing the word of the Lord. There were four lepers who were outside of the city. Because of their leprosy, they had to be isolated from the city. They were just outside the city there. Their situation was desperate as well. But they decided if they were going to die, they were at least going to die trying to do something to save themselves. And so they said among themselves, let's go to the enemy's camp. The worst thing that could happen is they kill us. We're going to die where we are now anyway. So let's go to the enemy's camp. When they got to the enemy's camp, they found the enemy's camp completely deserted. All of the food, all of the livestock, all of the clothes, everything that the army that had surrounded the city and captured this city, everything that this army had possessed, it was all still there, and the army was completely gone. And the Bible tells us that God had made the sound of a great army come to the ears of the Syrian army. It terrified them, and they fled in terror, left everything behind. These four lepers are out there. They've got everything. including a little guilt, because they began to say among themselves, you know, it's not fair for us to be here with all this stuff, with all the people suffering back in the city. We ought to go tell them what we found out. They went back to the city, and did you know that they couldn't believe the report they were hearing until they finally went out and looked for themselves. And sure enough, within 24 hours, God had completely turned the circumstances of Samaria around. From starvation and hopelessness, they went to a people of abundance and more than enough food for everybody there. But you see, they couldn't see what God could see. And they couldn't do what God could do. And the prophet, from the perspective of the Lord, knew that God was up to something. Maybe he didn't know what. But at least he had reason for hope because he knew his God. And I'm just saying to you today, look, we don't know what God is up to, but I guarantee it's good. Because it's the nature of God. He's a good God. And he has a good plan, and he wants to do good things for us. And we don't always know how. One of our biggest problems is that we always want to know how. How is this going to happen, and how is that going to happen? Don't worry about how. God will do it honest. Just trust the Lord. Just have hope in God. And because God is who he is, we can always have hope in the Lord. Somebody said, well, I just don't see it, Pastor. I just don't see the reason for hope. Could I suggest to you, if you don't see the reason for hope, the reason you don't see the reason for hope is that you're looking at the wrong thing. We look at this world, and I'll tell you, if we look at the world, we'll come away hopeless if we look at this world very long. It concerns me. It honestly does, the world that my grandchildren are having to grow up in, and the moral decay that's going on, the evil, the potential destruction that's happening. You and I in America, we're counting on economic boom. We don't understand the economic situation that we're even presently in. Did you know that the whole world today still teeters on the brink of economic collapse? $20 trillion worth of debt, brother and sister. Somebody's got to pay it somewhere, sometime. It can't go on forever. And there are those already out there saying there's a depression coming. That's worse than what we experienced in 2008. It's a bubble. It's a bubble. I don't understand the economy, to be honest with you. I don't understand a lot of things, but I don't understand a lot of the whole stock market is all emotion driven. It's all about emotion. And when that turns south, brothers and sisters, the stock market will too. And we just can't, we look at the world, and my point is this, we can't count on the things of the world. We can't count on our government. We can't count on medical science. Medical science is a wonderful thing. There are great advances in medical science. But you know, there's often times when people have health issues and all medical science can tell them is, there's nothing we can do for you. That's where Roland's wife is. Half of her heart is, just doesn't function anymore. She's been to all the doctors. They say, as great as technology is, there's nothing we can do for you. My point, brothers and sisters, we can't put our hope in the things of the world. We can't put our hope in the systems of the world. And if we're looking at the world, we're going to get depressed. We're going to get discouraged. There's not a lot of hope when you look at the things of the world. Sometimes we look at our own lives and we see the things that we've been through, and maybe we've had a hard life, and maybe we've been through a difficult time, and we look at our own lives and we think, my life has been miserable for so long. Why should I ever expect it to change? Why should I have any hope? Nothing good ever happens to me. We can have that perspective if we're not careful. And here's the thing. If we're going to change, we're going to have to lift our sights. We've got to stop looking out. We've got to start looking up. We've got to start looking up. That's why the Bible says, set your mind on things above, not the things of this world. Because the things of this world are passing away. But the God of all eternity is there for us when we look to him and put our faith and our hope in him. Let me give you real quickly, and I'm going to close. Let me give you about three or four things that we can do to have hope in our heart again in this new year of 2018. Look over at the book of Psalms with me, Psalm 77. And I probably could just use the same scripture I just read from Lamentations to make this point, because Jeremiah said the exact same thing here, but this way you have to look in your Bible to another passage of scripture. You need to learn where Psalm 77 is. So, one thing that you and I can do to have hope for the future is to look back at the things that God has done in our past. Now, the Bible is interesting. It tells us two different things about remembering. In fact, at one point the Bible says, forget. And then at another point the Bible says, remember. The idea is this, guys. We are to remember the good things that God has done for us, but we're not to live in the past. We're not to cling to the past. A lot of people do that. With good things and bad things. And we're to rejoice in the good things that God did in the past. But look, we got to live in the future. We got to move forward to the future. And we certainly don't want the bad things in the past to bog us down. Because a lot of people will live in the past where bad things are concerned and just live in depression and despair all their lives. And we put all those things behind. But there comes a time when we need to look back. And sometimes when we're going through difficult times, we need to look back at the good things that God has done and remember what God is capable of. Psalm 77 verse 11. And again, the psalmist is writing in very similar circumstances. When you read the whole psalm, there's difficulty, there's struggle, there's problems going on in this man's life. And yet, here's how he finds a solution for all that. He says in verse 11, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. In other words, he says, when times are hard, when times are difficult, when times it looks like I have no reason for hope, I'm going to remember what God did for me in the past, and I'm going to remember that that same God is still God today, and what God did before, He can do again, and if I will trust Him, something good, Oral Roberts used to say it, something good is going to happen to you. People used to get so aggravated at Oral Roberts for saying that. And he gave a classic response one time. He said, well, what am I supposed to say? Something bad is going to happen to you? What? How many of you know the gospel is called good news? It's good news. And something good. God has something good planned for our lives. We need to remember. Secondly, as I challenged last week, and look over at Romans chapter 15. If you're feeling hopeless, if you're feeling discouraged, read your Bible. Romans chapter 15, Paul makes this statement, Romans 15 and verse 4. He says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We might have hope. All of those great stories we read in the Old Testament, the stories of Noah and David and David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and Daniel in the lion's den, and all of those stories are there for us not just to give us accurate history of what happened in the past, but to remind us of the nature of God and who He is and what He's capable of because of what He's done before. And we're to read the scriptures with that perspective to understand that this is our God. And this is what our God can do for us. We need to remember His character. We need to remember His ability. And therefore have hope in the Lord. We need to make a decision. You know, sometimes it comes down to just making a decision. Just making a decision, by golly, I don't care what it looks like on the outside. I know who my God is, and I know what my God is capable of, and I know what my God has promised, and so I don't care if anything contradicts it, if anybody contradicts it, I don't care what anybody else says, I know what God says, that's all that matters, and in that I'm going to have hope. I think about the Abraham in the Bible in Romans, the fourth chapter. In Romans chapter 4, it reminds us of Abraham and his wait for a son. 25 years, he waits for a promised son. And finally, by the time he's 100 years old and his wife is 90 years old. Wow. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, I believe it's verse 18, in hope against hope, Abraham believed. In other words, when everything looked hopeless on the outside, he kept his heart focused on what God said and continued to have hope in God. And because he had hope in the Lord, the promise of God was fulfilled in his life and the son was born. Look at verse 13, Romans chapter 15. I'll be done here today. Remember what God has done in the past. Remember the nature of God. Remember who he is. We have reason to hope. Remember that God is good. We have reason for hope. Remember the promises of the Lord. We have reason for hope. Then look at verse 13. Paul is actually concluding his letter here, and he says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul is telling us in this verse of Scripture that just like love, just like joy, just like peace, hope is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the byproduct of living a life in communion and relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And so if you and I want to really have hope in this lifetime, we need to have a communion with the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to live our life in communion with the Holy Spirit. Please hear me, church. I'm almost done. It's time for us to get beyond the form of Christianity that puts God in a closet until we need him and then run to him in the hopes that he'll bail us out of our problem. No, it's time for us to learn to live our lives every moment of every day in communion with the living God. To walk with God, to live life with God, to live life for the glory of God in the power of his Spirit. If we'll draw near to the Lord will draw near to us, and he will fill our hearts with hope. If you don't have God in your life, you are hopeless. But you know, you can change that in a moment. All you have to do is turn your heart to God. All you have to do is, like that king, you know what, God, I can't handle this anymore. We need you, God. And God is so faithful. God is so faithful. If we'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, if we'll surrender our life to him, if we will turn our heart to the Lord, admit we need him, and let him have his way, if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, he'll forgive our sins. He'll save our soul. He'll fill our heart with hope. Thank you, Father. Lord, we ask your blessing as we start this new year as the people of God. Help us today, Father, to make the quality decision. We want to live this life for the glory of God. We know that your way is better than ours, and so we give you our life so that you can do what you want to with it. We ask you to have your way. Speak to us, Father. As we draw near to you, Father, speak to our hearts. If there are those here today, Father, that have never opened their heart to Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them today. That you would make them to know Jesus is the only way of salvation. And as we repent of our sins and ask Christ to be our Lord and Savior, we thank you for your faithfulness to save us, to forgive us, to make us whole, to make us children of God. And as we draw near, Father, we thank you for your presence with us, to lead, guide, and direct us, to produce from within us by your Spirit righteousness, peace, joy, love, faith, and hope. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're going to do in each of us in this coming new year. Thank you for the plans that you have for us to give us a future and a hope. Thank you for showing us how we can live our life to glorify you. We thank you, Father, for the blessing that life will be to us and to others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that your mercies never come to an end, that they are new every morning, because great is your faithfulness. Let's stand together this morning and stay in an attitude of prayer for just a moment, if you would, please. Would you consider your heart as we go into this new year? You were created by God and you're created for God. As you come to understand that, will you consider giving your life to God? The way you do that is simply admitting that you need Him. Acknowledge that Jesus is His resurrected Son. Repenting of your sins. Asking Jesus to save your soul. As we surrender our lives to Jesus, Jesus will turn our lives around. Thank you, God. Speak to hearts here this morning, Father. Speak to all of us. Show us those places in our life, God, that need to be surrendered to you. Some for the first time, some just afresh. Thank you, God. Thank you for all that you have store for us in 2018 and for all eternity because of Jesus. Make a difference in us, Father, that we might be different and that we might make a difference in the world. Thank you for it, Lord. As always, as we bring our service to a close, we want to give you an invitation to let us pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. Maybe a spiritual need. Maybe you need to know more about how to make Christ the Lord of your life. We're more than happy to pray with you about that after the service is over today. If you need prayer for any specific issue in your life, something you're struggling with, maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you need to know what God can do for you in a specific area of your life. Let us pray with you about that. Speak to us after the service and let us minister to you. We never want anybody to leave our services thinking you didn't get what you needed from God on a particular Sunday or Wednesday night. So you come and see us before you leave. Let us pray with those specific and personal needs in your life. Let us help you find a closer walk with the Lord. Find God's best for your life moving forward. We're going to sing and be dismissed. And you stick around if we can pray with you about anything today. All right? Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will stay. In your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord and happy new year to all of you. Hope to see you Wednesday night for Bible study.